Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live today from Gilbert, Arizona. We are at Park University, downtown Gilbert, for Phoenix Startup Week. And this year's theme, 2019, is Thrive Phoenix. And boy, have we been having a good time today, haven't we, Jacqueline?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. This has been a lot of fun. We've met a lot of really great people, and we've still got quite a few more to go. So.
Yes, and I've got a 1:30 breakout session that I'm leading, so I'm trying to find the energy to keep it up. Got to stay high energy. So obviously, I just mentioned Jacqueline's name, and you heard her voice. I want to thank Jacqueline DeStrumps with Another Hand Advantage for being my co-pilot today. Jacqueline is a business owner, and she is a great part of the reason why we are here today, because she's taking care of all the interview appointments and the marketing and some videos. It's been a lot of fun, so thank you for that. And Jacqueline also has her show, 3C Amplified, out of the Phoenix Business Radio studio, where she shines the spotlight on a lot of amazing business owners and organizations. So thanks again.
Yeah, of course.
So, Jacqueline, why don't you introduce our guests to our listeners?
All right. So, coming up this hour, we have with us Ryan Quinn from Bright Guest. Welcome. And we've got Kurt Cornum from Insight. Welcome, both guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So excited about having you both here. So, why don't you start for us telling us about Bright Guest? Because Jacqueline said, I mean, I know Insight. That's kind of a no-brainer. Well, I think I know Insight. Maybe I'll find out differently.
I know.
But Jacqueline said, oh my goodness, do you know about Bright Guest? You're going to love this segment. So, fill us in. No pressure there. No pressure.
Thank you. Yeah. So, Bright Guest is a new engagement channel. It allows nonprofits to really easily create smart, intelligent microsites that are delivered through more frictionless channels like text messaging. And it allows them to compel action with their audiences 17 times more effectively than like email or traditional channels.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very impressive. And Phoenix-based or Arizona-based?
Yeah, we're based in Gilbert right here.
Oh, wow. Perfect. Very good. All right. And tell us about Insight. We'll see if I'm right about that.
Well, either way, we're probably not your mother or father's Insight, because we've changed quite a bit.
Yes.
And we were a startup 31 years ago, started here in the East Valley, and we've grown into a Fortune 500 company and really focused on technology integration in the B2B space. So we help a lot of other companies realize the value that they can get out of technology today.
Has it really been 30 years?
31 years.
Wow. I remember, I think it's probably been almost that long, that somebody that I knew had gone to work for you guys. And just the joy that she had even back in the day about this amazing company, I just remember that being my first introduction, and I don't know that that's ever wavered. It's just amazing everything that you've done. And you spoke briefly in your introduction about some of the, you know, the changes. How long have you been with them?
It's actually 11 years today.
Oh,
it's my anniversary.
Well, happy
today.
Anniversary.
Happy Insight anniversary.
Yeah, I was actually at one of the companies that Insight acquired about 11 years ago. And so a lot of the changes that you've seen at Insight have come through acquisition, especially on the services side of our business. So the traditional business that a lot of people know, like I said, your mom and dad, so to speak, would have been around hardware, software, reselling. But now we have a thriving services business, about $800 million, over 2,000 people that are out helping clients realize the value of technology, not just from selling the technology, but actually having them adopt it and help them drive their businesses with it. So it's a pivot for Insight, but it's an exciting one.
Yeah, really important aspect of it. I think when you touched on it, the adoption of it, I think there's people who know that, kind of that inkling, like we know we need something, but how are we going to bring that on? How are we going to bring that on board?
And I'm actually speaking this afternoon, and part of it's the shift from ownership to access. And that's just a huge shift that's happening in the market as folks don't want to own things as much as they just want to have access to things. Mm-hmm. And that's impacting technology as well. So to the extent that we can help people understand how they can adopt it and still get the access they need without owning the assets, that's one of the areas that we're focused on.
Right.
Wonderful. Tell us a little bit more about Bright Guest. Who, where did the idea come? Because you're the founder. This is your gig.
Yes.
Where did the idea come from? What were you doing prior to this?
Interestingly, prior to this, I worked at Insight.
Shocking.
I love that. I am shocked. I did. I could tell you too.
I actually knew that.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I can echo the sentiments. It's an amazing company to work for. So, you know, the whole idea is the frustration. You feel it across several industries, the low engagement you get over email. And we knew that we tried to help solve this problem, and it's felt across, you know, several different markets, but nonprofits feel it the most. They are profoundly reliant on community engagement, fundraising to sustain operations, to grow, to get awareness. So that's really the space that we're focusing on right now.
Fascinating. Are there certain verticals, certain industries that really have been just kind of really coming to in droves? And with that, who else would you like to get in front of?
Yeah, so, you know, the whole the way it works for nonprofits is they have a CRM. It usually allows them to identify donors and engage them either through direct mail or email. And then there's the event component as well that they use to drive awareness, fundraising. And so the communication that goes on is really, there's a lot of friction around it. A lot of people, email has less than 20% open rates, less than 3% click-through rates.
Huh?
It's that low, even for nonprofits. But the thing is, once you can actually capture the audience's attention with a nonprofit because they're so passionate about their cause, they're aware of it more, and so they're going to take action more.
So small, medium nonprofits, it doesn't really matter. It's really just any organization that's looking to get out there and stay in front of their donors, their volunteers, their participants, mm-hmm. all that.
Exactly. And what we've seen, our ideal sweet spot is the SME to mid-market nonprofits that really can stand to benefit from a new engagement channel
mm-hmm.
like this.
Wow. Very good.
And what are some of those ways then that they're engaging with their donors through text?
Yeah. So people opt into campaigns, and our platform leverages text just as a more frictionless way to drive in-browser engagement.
Okay.
So our customers can drag and drop any kind of images, videos, Instagram, Facebook posts. They can build forms. And the microsites are built for them. And so people go through the different microsites based off of how they engage with content. The content and messaging will automatically align to their unique interest. The whole idea is the more personalized the experience, the more likely a call to action will be made.
Right, right. And they want to be able to say, no, this isn't what's of interest to me. This is what I need to get to, and this is how I want to support you and help you. And
yep.
This helps them get
yep,
there.
Exactly.
Yeah, great.
It's a great app, a great platform, and it's interesting that probably wouldn't have been possible even just a few years ago because mm-hmm. of all the technology that's been brought to bear
yeah.
over the last few years.
And exactly.
So it's a great application, but it uses mobile devices, some pretty sophisticated digital platforms, and then some advanced analytics as well, I know, to mm-hmm. to help you drive those solutions. So it's yeah. really interesting.
Yeah, that, or even accessible in the nonprofit
well,
sector.
Well, think about that. How could a nonprofit have been able to get access to all of that technology
right.
to drive their things and be you know attractive to donors and be able to support the causes they wanted? Now they're doing things that just wouldn't have been possible
mm-hmm.
with technology.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Another pain point for them is being able to control content at the regional or chapter levels. Usually that's controlled at the mm-hmm. national level. So with our platform, it empowers them to be able to create these experiences without having to write code or rely on developers.
And then as far as the kind of the adoption has gone, has that been an easy thing for nonprofits as far as getting that information out to them and then having them say, oh, yes, we need this?
Yeah, it's a mix of, you know, outbound and just putting the word out and then also content marketing, inbound marketing. It's been a couple different pivots that we've made to really dial in product market fit, because truly at its core, it's a market agnostic tool. It solves the same problem for employee engagement or member engagement or nonprofits. The whole idea was that it took a little bit of refining and figuring out the messaging to realize that nonprofits were the ones that felt the pain the most. And so we leveraged that to help communicate how it can add value to them, because it's an education problem, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Jacqueline's 3C Amplified show. I have to say this because really she has a passion for nonprofits, and many of the organizations and the guests that she have on the show are Phoenix-based nonprofits to help shed the light. So this is a great connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only fun that the two of you know each other, but it's also great right. that Jacqueline has this first hand seat in front of you. Kurt, tell us a little bit about Insight and what's ahead for 2019 for you guys. As you look ahead, what are you most excited about?
I think the opportunity to help folks across a broad industries and across all this technology is like to, just as you talk, as Ryan talked about his solution, you think about a nonprofit that they're dealing with, okay, what kind of endpoints are, do we need? What kind of platform do we need? Do we need coders? What are we doing around analytics? I mean, these are the kind of questions that people have to answer, but they don't necessarily have the staff to do that. And so what I think is exciting is to be able to try and streamline that process for companies of all sizes as well as nonprofits as well, and help them to take advantage of all the technology that's out there today. Because we didn't come up with the saying, which was, you know, in the future that all companies will be technology companies. And it's really because if they don't embrace this technology, they're just not going to be competitive. And as Jacqueline, as I'm sure you know, there's competition in the nonprofit space because there's only so many donors and so much
I was just going to say that to Ryan's point, that exactly that. I mean, I'm on so many distribution list emails lists, and I have some of my favorite nonprofits. I'm on the board for a couple, and I feel overwhelmed with just being inundated. So to have someone like you in our pocket to be able to really get specific, and to Jacqueline's point, to make sure that and for me as a participant, feeling like I know where I belong in this whole organization and where I can spend my time and or donate is really fantastic. Can we speak a little bit? You just mentioned, obviously, technology, right? It's important. Any business at some point becomes a business in technology. Where are we when we still have to focus on human, the element, that, you know, not only the client service, but also just making sure that our voice is in there. Can you, that's kind of a broad conversation, but how do you guys handle that in your businesses, still making sure it's still high touch?
Well, it's interesting. You do have to segment your clients. And so there's this concept of kind of high touch, low touch, and tech touch that's out there today, where then that's really from your perspective as a provider, is who do you think is strategic enough that you want to high touch, and then who do you try to push down and just try and do the touch through technology? Otherwise you can't scale, and it just becomes too expensive, the cost of sales to do that. So that's one way that we look at doing that. But the paradox is interesting, because more and more things are moving to digital, and a lot of folks want to do the self-service piece. But the paradox is, when they have that human connection, it needs to be a top-notch experience that they have with the human. They can't go back to, if you've ever done this, where you get with a customer service situation and they start asking you the same questions over and over, and they pass you to somebody else. It's like you're starting at zero every time. People will not put up with that.
Like my doctor's
anymore.
Office experience. What are you here for today? And then I go back into the room, and then the PA says, what are you here for today? And then the doctor asks me.
I think in the future, we will just demand that there's that level of integration between the digital side of the world and the physical side of the world. That's when I say everybody's a technology company. They need to figure out how to provide that kind of seamless integration and have the kind of experiences that we're all going to expect in the future.
Yeah, that's kind of been a theme across all of our shows today, which is you know, interesting that it comes out that way, because we just put out the times and people signed up for the slots that they wanted. We didn't pair anybody up. We didn't, you know, have certain people at certain times throughout the day, but we were just talking with one of the other sponsors about how people really want, you know, a lot of people really embrace the technology and they want the opportunity to be able to just click, 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 but then at the same time, they still want to know that there's somebody on the other end of that cares about what they're doing. And if they do need somebody, they're going to be there and they're going to provide that service just as conveniently as they were able to click, click, click. They're able to get in touch with somebody and talk with them and get move through that and have that still that human touch to it.
Yep.
But from BrightGuest perspective around the human element, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think that technology can be used to enhance the human element or the human experience because it makes it to where you can have metrics in place that will identify breakdowns in the communication or in the human experience, and then you can raise those up and identify them and just iterate on that and make it a better experience. Customer feedback, implementation.
Great. One of the fun questions that we've been asking all of our guests today is, at the end of the day, when you sit back and you know you've done a job well done, what are some of the things that you hear from your clients or even employees, your internal team, where you really feel satisfied? You're telling your spouse, you're telling a dear friend, you know what? Yeah, we really won it today, and here's the story. Can you give us an example of what that's like for you?
Yeah, I think one of the things is when we, you know, talk to clients and help them understand the importance of not just the client experience, we've been talking about that, but also the workforce experience as well. So we've talked to some clients who kind of feel like, yeah, you know, we're in a monopoly situation. I'm not sure about that. But then we had to switch the conversation. Well, yes, but how are you attracting your workforce and how are you providing that kind of culture for them so that they're going to want to show up to work every day? So for me, it's just seeing that, you know, we're helping other folks either provide a better client experience or probably more importantly, helping them improve the experience of their workers themselves.
Mm-hmm. Conscious Capitalism is one of our location sponsors, and that's a conversation we have a lot. How can we make sure that all stakeholders involved, and there's not a sacrifice from a vendor to an employee to a client, that it is really finding the win all the way around?
Right.
Yeah, appreciate that. How about for you?
Yeah, so for employees, it's always great to empower them, to make them feel accountable for the success of whatever they're touching or getting involved with, and to see the successful outcome, to see it implemented out there in the world. I really focus on getting customer feedback, so providing really easy channels for customers to get a hold of somebody either through support or to reach out on whatever channel we have, email, phone, live chat. But just to have processes in place that empower customers to give us the opportunity to serve them as best as we can.
And the feedback, I mean, when you're working with an organization, what is one of the greatest things that you can hear from somebody? Like, oh, God, you made it so easy. Or, hey, we just, you know, gained another sponsor. What's magic for you? What's the sweet spot? What do you like to hear?
You know, our metrics, what we're seeing, we've done some case study with some of our customers. You know, something like 38% increase in per person donations, 8,500% ROIs.
That makes a difference for an organization.
And it makes a difference in how they can support their cause. And so because they're all connected, most of these organizations, these nonprofits, the people are working there because it means something personal to them.
Right.
And so to be able to contribute and see their efforts put to more effective use is always going to have an emotional response, you know. And so the feedback is really where you can see the difference that you're making.
Yep. Yeah, no matter what their position is at the nonprofit, they're all there for that one reason. They want to see their cause being supported and not have to be worrying all the time about, you know, what can I do more? Can I do more? What more can I do? And just having that, like you said, just being able to, at the end of the day, have them say, oh, my gosh, we've got a 38% increase or whatever that may be in our donors. And we can, you know, a little bit more of a sigh of relief there that they can get back to what they're there for.
Yeah, it's more than just being able to drive specific value, but also to take work off of their plate.
Right.
That's important.
Yeah.
That is the true measure of success, is the impact you're having on their business.
Right.
And on our end, from a business perspective, how do we not only measure that, track that, and continue delivering more, and look for the areas in which I think you spoke to, Kurt, is look for the areas that where there needs to be some answers that hasn't been created yet. Let's be the ones to do that.
Right.
Let's figure that out for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're seeing that in a lot of ways that are really improving the, you know, workers' environment today, like things like robotic process automation. You've probably heard of that. That's just taking some of those just mind-numbing, mundane tasks off of their plate and letting these workers now think much more strategically and help look at how can they improve their business themselves, where they probably had the ability to do it, they just didn't have the time or the bandwidth to do it. And so if you can free up that time for them, it's a pretty powerful thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, we want to thank both of you for spending some time with us today. We also want to welcome you to come to the studio for a more robust and full conversation. We call this the mini interview when we're out on location, but we do invite you to come and maybe bring some of your clients and let's just hear the greater story about the great work that you're doing. As we close out the segment, if each of you could share a little piece of wisdom or maybe a strategy, a tip or something that you've taken along the way as you've been building your success professionally, and then also be sure to let our listeners where they can find you. No pressure there. Who'd like to start for
us? Go ahead, Ryan. Yeah, I would say that the biggest lessons that I've learned, especially with a startup, is recognizing the importance of how each individual contributes to the team. That, you know, goes for how positive of an attitude they bring or how negative it can be. It has a much more amplified impact on everybody. So just, you know, keep that in mind. If you have a company, you're just starting out or you're gaining traction, focus on really having ways for employees to give feedback about their environment and any changes they see, positive or negative. And if you want to see Brightcast in action and learn more about it, you could just text the word podcast to the phone number 27000.
Okay. Very good. And it's brightguest.com?
Yes.
All right. Very good. Thank you again for being here. Kurt.
Thank you.
So just four things real quick. One is around just to what I say, read the signs, meaning understand what's happening in the broader industry and the impact that it's having for companies. That would be the first one. And then the second one is, you know, you need to take some informed risks. Once you do that, you're going to have to place some bets, and you're never going to have perfect information. The third one would really be around to embrace the journey, because, you know, there's going to be some forks in the road. Ryan mentioned that he's pivoted a couple times, mm-hmm. and now he's kind of very focused on where he's headed. And then the fourth one is to don't go alone. I mean, this event is an example of the help that's out there today. It's amazing how many folks are willing to help people build their business and just be more successful. And so I would just encourage people to reach out to other communities that are out there to get the kind of support they need. And, you know, Insight, that's why we're here as well, to help people. And so Insight.com, folks can find us there, and we'll help them learn and solve their IT issues.
Wonderful. So great to have you both here. Thanks again. Again, this is Karen Nowicki and Jacqueline DeStrem. So I was trying to combine the first and last name, like a Brangelina kind of thing. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio. We are out here at Phoenix Startup Week out at Park University in Gilbert, Arizona. And we have one more day after today. This is Friday. We got one more day. So if you have not registered yet, there's still time to come down and participate in the fun. And again, network, learn, communicate, get your word out. And who knows, you might end up coming away with a strategic partner or a client. Again, this has been a blast to be with you today, and we'll see you at the studio next time.